Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, and we read verses 21 through 28 this evening. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Hear now the word of God. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. What we see here is a female version of Jacob wrestling with God in Peniel. Genesis chapter 32. All night long, Jacob wrestles with God. He even walks away with a permanent physical problem. But he will not let go of God. He wrestles with the angel of the Lord, you might say, all night long. And God says, all right, it's getting late. And he says, let go. And Jacob says, I'm not letting go until you bless me. I won't let go until you bless me. And so God says, okay, you have prevailed. That's why your name is no longer Jacob, but now it's Israel. You have prevailed with God. And he gave him a blessing. It occurs to me, thinking about that and thinking about this woman, how few will do this. How few of we Christians will wrestle with God all night long for his blessing, crying out for his blessing, and in this case, crying out for his merciful healing for someone else. Not just crying out for ourselves, although she says, help me, but she so identifies with her daughter, she says it like that, but it's to heal her daughter of a demon. How few of us will just keep coming after God, keep coming after Christ, until he sends us away with our requests. Maybe we would say, we shouldn't approach Jesus like that. That's arrogant. That's too bold. We should humbly just ask maybe once or twice quietly and maybe try to forget it and see maybe if he answers later. But Jesus is giving us an example tonight of how to go after him. Jesus is giving us an example tonight to follow if we will. And frankly, it's in contrast to what he's just been involved with, the scribes and Pharisees, who don't approach him for blessing and they go away with no blessing. This Gentile woman comes after him, goes out of her way to get to him, and won't leave until he answers her request. And does Jesus say, go away? Notice he never says no. He never says no. He just gives the sense of maybe he might say no, but he's kind of encouraging her to keep asking. And then in the end, he praises her. Are you willing to approach Jesus like this? What has been bothering you? What is on your heart? What is deeply giving you problems? And are you coming to Christ like this? Crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. On behalf of someone else. Are you crying out like that? I'm convicted that I don't. There's times when I've approached him like this. I don't think so constantly. And Jesus is encouraging us to do that. He doesn't necessarily guarantee us what the specific answer will be, but he encourages us to keep crying out until he gives his answer. In this text, we see that Jesus challenges and he commends a faith that persistently pursues his answer. That's the main idea of the text I submit to you. Jesus challenges and commends a faith that persistently pursues his answer. He says, that is what I'm talking about. Now that is a Christian. Now that is a strong faith. Are you like this woman? Will you be like this woman? John Calvin says she has an unshaking constancy. You know, it's like you try to push her aside, she just keeps coming back. She just keeps coming back. Jonathan Gill says she pushes on through all discouragements. That is strong faith. That is great faith. You push on through all discouragements. And in this case, the disciples are discouraging her. Surely the long journey to get there was a discouragement. And Jesus would seem to be discouraging her, or she could have taken him as discouraging her. She could have said, no, okay, all right, turn around and go home. She could have responded that way. Instead, she pushes through all discouragements. Will you? O ye of little faith, how often does Jesus have to say that to us? Will you push through all discouragements? Will you have unshaking constancy to keep coming to Christ, asking him to answer? May you. Will you constantly cry to Christ? May you constantly cry to Christ. That's the message for you this evening. Constantly cry to Christ. And this should be an encouragement to you, beloved. I think we're all timid about this. I think we all, especially in our Western ways, are afraid to be too bold. But Jesus is saying, look here as the example, O ye Gentiles, and approach me like that. And if you don't, maybe you don't really want it that bad. And maybe you don't really believe I can. Maybe you don't really believe I will. This is no guilt trip for prayers that have the answer no. We all know the experience of crying out to Christ and not getting the answer we wanted. But the reality is, there are probably a lot of prayers that would seem to go unanswered with us because we really don't pray very much. And if we do pray, we don't constantly cry to Christ over the deep concerns of our heart. We take them elsewhere and to others. Jesus is saying tonight, come to me, constantly come to me. Cry to me. Seek my answer. Beloved, constantly cry to Christ. No answer doesn't mean no. That's what we first see tonight. No answer, even an answer that seems to discourage, but it's not a no. It's not actually a no. If it's a maybe, go for a yes. Even if it's a maybe, that doesn't seem like, I don't know, maybe not. If it's not a no, then keep going for a yes. No answer doesn't mean no. It means keep asking. I can't help but laugh to myself. My lovely wife loves to bring something up when I'm not necessarily in agreement with one of her requests. And she likes to say, well, I have learned, I forget the context, if you get a no, later it can become a yes. And I found she's pretty good at being persistent. And if you don't mind my volunteering, man, oh man, does she get all the ice cream she wants. And you know why she gets it more than I want to give it to her? She does not tire of asking for it. Thankfully, she's laughing and smiling right now. I couldn't help but think about that, because usually when she says that, it's because she asks for ice cream. You know, parents sometimes play coy, and sometimes I even play coy with her. Parents sometimes play coy with their children when their children want something. They want to see how much their child really wants it. You know what I mean? I'll do this with the children sometimes. Well, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't go out for ice cream. Oh, no, Dad. Are you really sure? You sure you want ice cream? Well, I don't know. We've had that recently. Sorry I'm tormenting you on this hot evening. But sometimes we just, I don't want to say play games with our children when they request, but we are coy with them. We might toy with them a bit, in a sense, to just find out how much do they really want it. Now, what if they answered this way? Oh, okay. Well, actually, I was a little tired, and I was just being coy with you, but apparently you don't want it that bad, and I'm busy, and I wouldn't mind saving a little money, so okay, we won't go. But no, the children are wise. Oh, no, please, Dad, please, please, please. And then you get to where you, oh, okay, let's go. You can't help. You have to go. You want to go, right? So I think Jesus is doing something like this, maybe a little more careful, but in verses 23, 24, and 26, where he says these things that seem like a discouragement, let's consider what the tone of his voice might have been. Perhaps it's inviting, like when we say, I don't know, I'm thinking maybe we should go out to eat tonight. What do you think? Yeah, well, I don't know, maybe not, you know. And you're kind of coaxing them into the answer you're looking for. Maybe Jesus, I'm not saying he's being so silly about it, but maybe he's speaking in a tone of voice that suggests, you really want this? I mean, I could do it. I don't know. I'm here for the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not supposed to throw the bread for the children to the dogs. Even the choice of word for dogs, it seems like he's setting her up to keep asking. We'll see. Seems to me that Jesus is saying these things in a way that she understands he's inviting more of her requests. Jesus makes her work for it, but in doing so, he invites her appeals. He didn't say no, exactly. He's proving and improving her faith as a Gentile example that the Jewish scribes and Pharisees should be following. Now, remember that. You see, he's been ministering in his own homeland, and he just had the chief of the Jews, the scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem, no less, last week, come out and try to get him, try to trick him, try to hurt him. You know, there are plenty of people in Judea and all over coming after him, but, you know, the chief leaders and things, he's saying, I haven't seen this faith anywhere. I gotta go to the Gentiles to see this faith. And so he's letting her be this example for her own self, for her family she goes back to, but also for the Jews. Look at her as the example of how you should be approaching me. Calvin puts it this way. The design of Christ's silence was not to extinguish the woman's faith, but rather to whet her zeal and influence her ardor. Children, what he's saying is, he's not trying to discourage her. He's trying to encourage her to keep asking. He's, you know, every time you ask, if you tease the children, oh, you sure? Yes! Every time it gets louder, oh, come on, yes, we know we want to, right? And in a sense, I don't think it's silly like that, but, you know, every time she asks, she knows more she wants it, she knows more Jesus can do it, and she's glad he's still talking to her. And when she passed the test, he answers her request. Verse 28. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Her faith is shown how? Now remember, faith is not an action, but faith is seen in action. Faith is not a work, but it is seen in how we approach the Lord Jesus and work with him. So how do we see her faith? He says, you have great faith. Wow. You have what you're asking for. But what is the example? What do we see in the text? She just keeps coming after him as she encourages him to keep coming after him. Her faith is shown to be persistent petitioning. Rather, her faith is seen in persistent petitioning of Jesus. especially considering it would seem that he's discouraging her to do so at first. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 could summarize what you're to do with this text. Pray without ceasing. Naturally, we can't pray every single second, but we are to be praying all the day long, all the night long, bringing our concerns to the Lord. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Think of this just recently in Matthew 14, verses 34 to 36. Jesus is trying to get alone there in quiet, but the multitudes keep finding him, and they keep getting ahead of him, seeking his healing, and he continues to heal everybody. The message for you there was, keep coming to Christ. He doesn't turn anybody away who really comes to him. Keep coming to Christ. Think of Luke 18. Jesus gives the parable of the widow, harassing the unjust judge until he answers her request. And he says, I'm not a good judge because you're driving me crazy. All right, I'll give you what you want. You think of the other parable where we learn of the neighbor who has a friend visiting and keeps knocking on the door of the other neighbor until he finally opens. He's in bed. But please, I need some bread to be able to take care of my guest. And it's because of the constant... I have to admit, sometimes my children knock on the door. I might be shaving, brushing my teeth. I don't really feel like walking around to let them in. The children that get in are the ones, when I don't answer, who next thing you know, you hear... again. All right. What do you want? And there, Jesus is encouraging us to just keep coming until we get an answer. And that's what he says the whole point of the parable in Luke 18 is for, the widow going after the unjust judge until he gives her what he wants. He says he gave this parable, quote, that men ought always to pray and not faint. You should always be praying. If you find yourself fainting, it's because you're not always praying. The way to be sustaining yourselves, the way to be seeking answers from God, from Christ, is to keep praying until he answers. And we're going to see more about what that looks like with her as an example to us. But the persistence pays off. You don't want to faint in this life? You don't want to be overwhelmed and undone? Keep praying. Keep crying to Christ. Faith as a mustard seed is enough, but her great faith, verse 28, accomplished much. Let us all be encouraged that faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to get us into heaven and get us through this life. But her great faith accomplished much. What do you want to see happen in your life? What do you want to see happen in the lives of your children? She is crying out, God, have mercy on me. But it's really on behalf of her daughter who's demon-possessed. What if she had given up and gone home to her daughter and watched her? And said, I've done all I could do. But not really, if she didn't keep crying to Christ. Jesus approves of you, proving your faith in persistent prayer that gets his answer. No answer doesn't mean no, it means keep asking. And Jesus approves of you proving your faith in persistent prayer that gets his answer. Oh, beloved, I don't mean to suggest it's always going to be this quick. It may take years. Like Monica, crying out to Christ for Augustine. But there's a reason we know his name as one of the great fathers of the ancient church. And he credits in his book of confessions, his mother says, my mother is the reason I'm a Christian. My mother is the reason I'm doing what I am. And she just would not stop coming after me. And she just would not stop crying to Christ for me. Long period of time. Think of the traveling salesman. We have this phrase, oh, I just want to get my foot in the door. But have you ever done that? I don't know, maybe I'm trying to think of an example, but think of a traveling salesman. We don't see them as much now. But, you know, you knock on the door, traveling salesman, I don't know, selling encyclopedias or something years ago, and the person opens the door, and they don't seem interested, so the person knows to do this. The salesman sticks the foot in the crack of the door. The door can't be shut because the foot's in the door. Now, that takes some boldness, doesn't it? And that salesman, tries to keep the conversation going, right, in some way, until they're sitting in a chair having tea and walking away with a sale. Right? That's kind of what this woman is doing. She keeps working herself in closer and closer. She keeps sticking her foot in the door, and she will not let it be shut. Look at all these doors that appear to be shutting in front of her. Jesus doesn't say a word the first time. He will not answer her. I think a lot of us would have gone home right then. The disciples are saying, "She's driving us nuts." Some think that they're saying, please send her away with a blessing, answer her prayer request. But it would seem they've done this before, send the people home with maybe some compassion, there's not enough food. Or, however, get the children away from Jesus, he's busy, right? But Jesus doesn't answer, and then the disciples are saying, she's crying out to us. She doesn't leave because the disciples are playing, you know, fullback or offensive line here for Jesus. She doesn't leave. She's not leaving. 12 men, I guess, and she's not leaving. She's not intimidated by these men. She keeps working herself through all of these doors that seem to be closing. She keeps sticking her foot in the door. Now, first of all, she came a great distance. Verse 22. This is kind of the outer area of Christ's homeland, of Israel. He's not really in either of these two Gentile cities. He's kind of in the outside border of his area that's remote, and he means to be alone. And we see that in the text, and we see it in Mark. He's trying to get some rest. He's trying to keep things from moving quicker than they need to be. And she comes from a great distance out to probably a rather remote place to see him. Somehow she knows that he's there. And so she's doing something to know where he is. And when she knows he's close, she goes out to him. Probably at great personal risk as a woman in such a place at such a time. But she's got a daughter that's got a demon, and she's not going to be held back to go to Jesus where he is. And then in verse 23, she pushes past the disciples. And then she is direct, more direct with Jesus. She overhears the conversation, and she just starts talking to him. You try to imagine that. She's not like waiting in line for the celebrity. She's like, hey. She's not waiting for the disciples to intercede for her. And then when Jesus is talking with her, she keeps going more and more. She's persistent with Jesus. She starts to have an argument with Jesus. Do you notice that? I mean, not a negative, aggressive thing. She's very humble through the whole thing. I mean, she even acknowledges she's a dog. She's not a Jew. I mean, she acknowledges that she is unworthy. Have mercy on me. She's not claiming any merit. But notice that she persists with Jesus in an argument. And she appeals to logic, and she persuades him, as it were. And in verse 27, when he says, you know, I'm here to feed the children, the Jews. I can't be giving the food to the dogs at this point. And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Now, I think that for we dog lovers, many of us, it would be enjoyable to consider the word change here compared to Matthew 7, verse 6. In Matthew 7, verse 6, Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And don't throw your food to the dogs, the good word to the dogs. And in that context, it's a different Greek word that has to do with wild dogs, dangerous dogs. Here, it's a different Greek word, and I think he is using it to set her up to keep asking. He uses the Greek word that means something like little dogs. You might say lap dogs. And he has the idea of, you know, the little dogs that are in the home, pets. He's talking about pets now. And of course, we've had our friend bring his little new home, his companion, this little tiny little dog, and we have that idea. It's been fun to just see how he's all happy with this cute little dog, this little rat, a dog, excuse me, same size as our dog. And so it's that kind of dog. It's a little pet, and he's encouraging her. This is not the wild dog. He's just saying, you know, and he's setting her up because you almost couldn't help but say, but yes, but Lord, of course, the children feed the dogs, right? The children love to sneak a little scrap. Now, I would not tolerate this, but you know, children love to sneak the little scraps to the dog under the table, right? And especially in that day and age, things falling on the ground, it's not the same like today. And the dogs are going to be there taking up the little scraps and, oh, hey, you know. And she's saying, well, treat me like a dog, no problem. I'll take the scraps, but please feed me, please take care of me. She's not going to use being called a dog to say, I don't need this, I'm out of here. Yes, Lord, so I'm a dog. Even the dogs, the little lap dogs, the little pets, they get the scraps from the children at the table. Please, please, please. And I think he sets her up using that word. But even before, when he's not speaking, it's interesting to consider. Maybe he's not answering, but maybe he is looking at her to see how she responds to his silence. Maybe he is looking out at her with a little bit of an intrigue. What are you going to do with this? I'm not telling you to leave. Isn't a silence there maybe an invitation to press on? I'm listening. Maybe we need to think about that when we're praying and we don't feel like we're being heard. Maybe we need to recognize he's there. I'm listening. How bad you want it? What do you have to say next? I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this. He says, she was not silenced by the Lord's silence. She was not silenced by the Lord's silence. She took it as an invitation to keep on asking. And I think that's what he intended for her. But it's interesting, she was also not silenced by his dismissals. His apparently saying, I can't help you, don't bother me. He's really encouraging her to keep asking. But notice, many people with little faith could hear that and walk away. She's not silenced by what he says, let alone by what he doesn't say. You see her faith in him. You see her faith in him. She knows that he can do it. And she knows that he could be willing to do it. She's heard of the compassion he's had on so many others. Why not her daughter? She's not falling for it. She's following where he's leading. She calls him the son of David. She recognizes as a Gentile what the Pharisees and scribes wouldn't. He is the Messiah. She cries out, have mercy on me, as you would cry out to God to be your Savior. 3 times, verse 22, 25, 27, she calls him Lord. Could be translated Master. Lord, 3 times. Look at the faith that she has in him. She knows who she's talking to. That's why she keeps approaching him. Notice also, verse 25, she worshiped him. When she approaches him, she doesn't make demands. She's making requests. Vehemently, yes, passionately, yet, but she falls before him, begging him in worship. She worships him as God. And notice this especially, verses 22 and 23, twice it says, she cried to him. She cried to him. And I tried to bring out what I think that would sound like and look like when we read the text. The Greek word for cry here means a loud voice, demanding, in a sense, appealing for rescue. Think about that. If you are in a riptide or something out in the ocean and you need the lifeguard to come and rescue you, do you say, oh, I see he's busy. I'll wait till the others are done talking with him about suntan lotion. No. Please help me, I'm trying to get out! Right? And that's the idea here. She's crying out, save me, have mercy on me. Beloved, how often do you pray to Jesus like that? There's been some times in my life where I have prayed to Jesus like that. And he has answered. There's times like that where it's really the most genuine, sincere, real prayer you've ever had. And it's some of the closest times you'll ever have with God. Don't deny yourself of them. and the answers you might have if you would cry out. Might anyone ever hear you praying in another room because you're crying out to God? Lost in your desperate request to the Lord. If you're not approaching him like that, maybe you don't understand how great your needs are. If you're not approaching him like that, maybe you don't understand how great he is and how willing he is. But he wants to test and improve your faith. We see this cry, this loud voice, this desperate request for rescue in words. Verse 25, Lord, help me! Does that sound like something similar? Can you think of something in Matthew a little while ago where something similar? Peter, on the water, waves. Lord, save me! He was not saying it, Lord, if it would be your will, and you know, if you don't have anything else going on, and I know you're busy, you know, no, Lord, save me! Or tonight, Lord, have mercy on me, help me. And Jesus praises her for praying to him like that. Jesus answers her for praying like that. Jesus shows her Gentile persistence as the reason she has, as the evidence of such great faith in him. Notice she has faith. This Gentile woman, much stronger than all these Jewish pastors and seminary professors. Because she really knows who he is. She knows to go after him for help instead of trying to hurt him. Verse 28 again. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. It says, you have great faith. And so you get what you want because you wouldn't stop asking. That's great faith. And that's why you get a great miracle. And it's very similar to another Gentile that stands out because you don't see these Gentiles much. It's the Jews mostly, but these two Gentiles get highlighted to us for a reason. Great faith that he says the Jews ought to have. Turn back with me to chapter 8 of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. Now, again, I want to give this disclaimer. There are some times where people may accuse you for not having enough faith if you don't get some kind of a healing like this. And you need to recognize that this is a special time where Jesus is proving he is the Messiah. This is not normative. Same thing in the book of Acts, as Jesus is establishing anything in the new church. So you don't necessarily not have faith, or even strong faith. Sometimes God's answer is no, and he'll make the answer clear in due season. Nonetheless, he is giving you and I an example of how to pray to him. And my beloved brethren of Gentile descent, we have the Gentiles as the example highlighted to us. Here also in Matthew 8, beginning with verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now you notice a centurion's a Roman soldier. He's not a Jew. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Just like the daughter, grievously tormented by the demon. So he similarly has come out to Jesus to meet him where he is on behalf of whom he's left home. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Then Jesus heard it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Saying, I should be finding faith like this in Israel when I've come. I'm your Messiah. Look at the Gentile and how he approaches me. And look at his faith. He believes I don't even have to come. I can just say it and it'll happen. And then look down in verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed," that's the same thing as faith, "as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let me read verses 10 and 13, and then let's go back and look at the similarity to tonight's text in verse 28. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Now go back to our text. Look how similar. Verse 28 of Matthew 15. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In both cases, they're Gentiles. They're not Jews. In both cases, they've gone out of their way to come to Christ, to cry out to him for healing on behalf of someone else who is grievously suffering. In both cases, he says, "You have great faith." Wow. And he says, "Be it as you will. What you wish is now requested." And then they both record at the very moment where Jesus said this happened, where Jesus says they're healed, they were healed. They went back, and when they got back, they were healed. When did it happen? And it was right when Jesus said so. Notice also both of these things were at a distance. Jesus wasn't even there. It was at a distance. That's what faith can do. That's what a great faith can be used by Christ to do. We know that faith is a gift from Christ. We know that our increase of faith is an answer to our prayers. Nonetheless, he uses means, and he's calling you and me to have great faith. Faith that is not afraid to constantly come to him, to constantly cry to him, and expect him to answer on behalf of others who are not even there. So I want to say this to you, beloved. The disclaimers having been said, it is not a lack of faith to be direct with Jesus Christ and to let everybody know and to ask everybody to be praying for you. It is not a lack of faith to be determined to know what you are asking for and to be desperate about it. Jesus points to that tonight with this woman and says, "Now that's what I'm talking about. Now there is great faith." She was direct, she was determined, she was desperate, and she would not stop. You know, sometimes that kind of behavior can be, in certain subtle ways, suggested as a lack of faith. Not having the peace to just shut up and wait on God. I can tell you I've been given that kind of a subtle hint over the last 2 years. Maybe if I had gone away, I would not have my wife here right now. But Jesus is giving you an example. This is faith. This is great faith. Come at me and ask of me, or do you think I'm too small? Come at me and ask of me, or do you think I don't care? Keep coming to me. I will strengthen your faith in the constant asking. And then I will give something to you as an answer. Sometimes not exactly as we imagine. Sometimes a no when we want a yes. But he will help us have peace with it. He will show us he's in it. But don't be afraid to expect a yes. And to take as long as it takes. Such as Hannah. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 20, a little while ago. What is it? 4 years. She can't have a baby. She's crying all the time. And she's in the temple crying out to God. Eli thinks she's drunk. "I'm not drunk. I'm crying out to God for a baby." And he says, "May God answer your prayer." And he does. Not miraculously, but he does. Miraculously in the sense that he allows normal conjugal marital love to be fruitful in this sense when it wasn't before because he had closed the womb before. God, having closed the womb, is encouraging a crying out, and Hannah cries out, and God gives the answer of Samuel, which means his name, God heard me, or God answered me. And the message of that sermon was, it is okay to cry out to Christ. It's not unspiritual. It's not a lack of faith to be desperate. Jesus says it shows a lot of faith. James chapter 5, verse 16. This could be another summary of the text tonight to apply in your lives. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice the word fervent. Matthew Henry says this, faith can find encouragement even in that which is discouraging. Wow. Can you and I start to actually be content and find encouragement in those things which seem to be discouraging? She comes all this way and Jesus doesn't say a word when she cries out. The disciples are trying to shoo her away. Jesus gives her a couple of answers that would seem to be doing the same. And she just looks for something to hold on to. Oh, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get some of the children's crumbs. Let me have that. Surely that will be enough. Faith can find encouragement even in that which is discouraging. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hold on to that, beloved. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, which is faith. You can't please him without it. Another encouragement from a parallel text. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24. We see that when it says in verse 21 of our text tonight that Jesus came to this place, we see even more that he would be alone because Mark shares he would not have any man know it, that he was there, but he could not be hid. Jesus was trying to hide. He was looking for a break to get some peace and quiet, to get some rest. Maybe that's why he doesn't answer at first. He's exhausted. Almost like, you know, you think you're going to rest, you're having some... Again, because he was human, fully human. And so the woman comes out to him when he just wants to be left alone. And she's not even a Jew. And he challenges her along to make sure she's serious. Maybe before he gets up in his exhaustion, you could say also. And when she proves to be serious, he answers her request. He's exhausted, he wants to be alone, he just keeps getting followed by the masses, but he always, always will take you if you're sincerely coming after. So she comes after him, and he answers her request, though he had tried that no one would know he was there. Because she keeps seeking him out, because she keeps crying out loud to him, and he, of course, knows this is going to happen, and he develops this to happen this way. He works with her to portray in her, for her, but for you as well, an example for you to follow. Constantly cry to Christ. So I ask you again, beloved, what is on your hearts? Who is on your heart And where are you taking your heart and how are you going about it? Take it to Jesus right now in prayer. Fall on your knees before him tonight and cry out to him. And tomorrow, do it again. Or how much do you really want it? He's teaching us to really want it. To improve our faith. To prove our faith. And to get an answer. Don't you get tired of asking? How quickly, I'm ashamed to say, I get tired of asking. Don't you ask in a way that just looks like you're tired? Not this woman. Come to him with fervent prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray and faint not with your burdens and your discouragements. Have faith to find encouragement where there are discouragements. Recognize if you don't have an answer of no, keep asking. As long as it takes. I think it was Spurgeon, if not others, that said, oh, that we would have the faith to keep crying out for our children as this woman does for hers. May Jesus not say to us, oh, ye of little faith. May he say, oh, ye of great faith. And what will be the difference? If we just keep coming to him. If we just keep crying to him. A big exhibit of how much faith you have, how great is your faith, is how much you are praying. If you are praying very little, then you are a person of very little faith. That's just what the text teaches us. You want more faith? Then when Jesus doesn't answer, don't take that as he's not listening. Ask some more. When Jesus seems to be answering, but you're not sure it's the answer you're looking for, keep asking. Keep crying out to him. Don't give up and don't give in until he's given a very clear answer in his providence. Constantly cry to Christ. Constantly. Constantly. Cry without ceasing, fervently. And then watch what happens. See what Jesus will do for you, his children. And cry out like that with the fervency and also with the reverence, Son of David. Lord, 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 have mercy on me. Help me. Save me. Beloved, may we all constantly cry to Christ. Let's do so right now. Let's pray. O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Save us, O Lord. Free us from our demons of despair. Free us from not having enough faith to believe that you can and that you will. Help us to pray truly without ceasing. Make our faith great. Have us on our knees before you often. Let our prayers be so powerful. May our passion in you be so strong that it comes out of our mouth. Forgive us that we don't approach you like a mighty Savior. Forgive us that we too often try to save ourselves. Oh Lord, let us pray without ceasing and with fervor that you would bring radical reformation in our lives. We cry out, O God, send us more of the Holy Spirit. We cry out, O God, send your Holy Spirit through this place. Bring real paradise into these hills. We cry out, O God, save our children. We cry out, O God, sanctify us and make us holy. Help us to love you with our whole heart and our neighbor as ourselves, that we would cry out for them as this woman cried out for her daughter and as the centurion cried out for his servant, with trust that you can do it and that you will. Protect us from those in the Reformed faith who would use your sovereignty to scare us from being desperate before you, crying out for things that are scriptural and good. Let us not be deterred by discouragements. Let us find encouragement in them. Let us learn how to ask in new ways. Let us learn to ask more often. We humbly submit ourselves to your answer. But until you say no, let us keep asking for a yes, trusting that sometimes that's what you're waiting to give us. And those that keep asking get that answer more often than those who don't. Clearly, you give us this example again tonight. May we follow her example, O Lord Jesus Christ. May you make us people of prayer. Persistent, passionate prayer that availeth much. For your glory, for ourselves, and on behalf of our loved ones in this church, we pray. And all your people cried out, Amen.